Hello, this is Transduction Signal on DubLab Radio. I'm your host, along with Orly Gal. Join us each month on DubLab Radio for our show, Transduction Signal. We'll be joined by a featured guest, an artist. They will share their live performance, followed by a short breakdown of their setup. We'll talk about their music, what's happening in their lives. And Orly, take it away. Who do we have this month?
We have the pleasure of having Sarah Summers on the show. We got to hang out with her in Berlin and ADE. We'll talk about all of this when we get into our show. But I have to verbally read her bio because it is one that we're also going to get into later. And I'm reading word by
word.
Please
do.
Forced to leave her princess life on her pink homeworld when it was hit by a giant pink asteroid, Sarah Summers crash-landed her rocket on planet Earth. And began performing her live dance music raves and clubs in Melbourne, London, and now Berlin, where she has been based since 2018. With an extensive collection of self-customized pink synthesizers and modular equipment, Sarah brings a truly unforgettable musical and visual experience to her performance. Sarah combines dance music genres across the spectrum and is inspired by many styles from the early 90s, rave to dub, drum and bass, dubstep, breakbeat, and modern techno, bringing dance music together in a way that is different, new, and exciting.
And we get to hear it. Yeah. Nice. All right, let's bring her in. All right. Hey, Sarah.
Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get into all the interview and everything like that, we want to share your performance. Do you have anything you want to say, or do you want to just us to just get into it and play it? It's up to you.
I guess there's not a whole lot to say. It's sort of like an excerpt of like a piece that I like to play at the moment when I'm playing out here. Yeah, that's about it, I guess.
Awesome. All right, cool. All right, well, I'll ask everyone to mute up, and here we go. Sarah Summers. Hell yeah.
Yes, I was waiting for you to say that so I can second that. Oh my God,
Nice.
Sarah, I have to jump in first here
Go for it,
because
go for it.
I mean, listen, I was like glued to my seat, and there was such a beautiful juxtaposition between like really deep, dark sounds, and then somehow you came in with that little vocal and then put an enchanting melody, and then it was like, I really love the fact that you bring in a very relevant pop culture mixture into, because you were saying Instagram, if I'm not wrong there, and I am guessing that is your vocal, is that correct?
No, I wasn't saying Instagram, but I like that you can hear that. That's kind of
That's
cool.
all I got. I was like,
Oh,
Insta,
right.
Instagram. I was like,
That's
That's a
So you
great
weren't
thing
going to
about
do that?
vocals, like
Yeah.
it's like what you hear
Yeah,
sometimes.
people hear things in it, and it's kind of cool.
What
Yeah, I
did you
kind of like
say?
that it's not super obvious, like in a way.
Yeah.
So what was it? What were you saying?
So there's different things. So basically, in the start, it's just saying like I'm just a, and then it just and then yeah, then I sort of say other things about being a doll, essentially. It's about being a doll.
Okay, I like
Ah,
it.
so it is still like relevant to what I said, which you were bringing pretty much a lot of pop
Yes.
culture into the mixture
Yes.
with those like little really enchanting sounds. It was quite magical, not gonna lie.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
Thank
no,
you.
it was great. I've had the pleasure of playing three shows with you, and every time you just bring it, but
Thanks.
before, yeah, no, it was fantastic. So thank you. I know the listeners are definitely enjoying this. But so many questions. I have a lot of questions. Should I start orally? Is that okay? Do you
If you start straight into gear, and then I'm gonna shift gears into other things,
Okay. Yeah, well, first before, while we just fresh off hearing the live set, like just give us for those who are just listening, like tell us what you were using, like your pieces of gear.
Yeah, so in that particular live set, I was mainly using the modular system, the analog rhythm, a bit of the syntact, and the percons. So those were the four elements. The start was particularly focused on the modular, and really the heart of that is the what I really love is the VPDME quad drum voice thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's really making most of this the first like sort of 10 minutes, I think, is coming from that. And
Gotcha.
with the analog rhythm doing more of like like the hats and rides and sort of percussive stuff.
Got you. Can you exp okay, so when you're What is your approach? If you can just kind of tell us, with using all those pieces, like how do you approach
So
writing
I
even?
guess, yeah, so I guess I'm a little bit random with how I do it. Like I don't really have like a set approach or structure. It's more like I'll start off with like maybe a particular sound, or I'm like I've kind of got an idea of a kind of a track that I want to make and a kind of speed or something like that. Yeah, it can really start on any machine and go in any direction. So I don't really have like a sort of a standard way of making a track. Like what's I didn't realize that this was a bit strange, but like I'll have like kick. Sometimes my kick drum will come from the percons, sometimes it will come from the rhythm, sometimes it will come from the syntact, and sometimes it comes from the modular. So like each track will have like a bit of a different feel, but I kind of like that variation.
Yeah, no, like, oh, go ahead, Orly. What were you gonna say?
Do you record your sets every time to like decide what tracks you're actually making?
I try and record most of them, but often I forget to press record, which is really dumb. And I'll get like halfway through and I'll be like, oh, I did a really, oh, I'll think, oh, I did a really good job of this particular track. And then I'll be, oh, I didn't record it. Great. And then so I'll start recording halfway through. But
Definitely have been there.
yeah. But yeah, so yeah, so like I'll kind of like, play them a few times. Like I'll sort of come up with something and then play it out and then sort of see if it works or doesn't work or which bits work or they, and then sort of fine tune it a bit and change stuff up for the next time and or like maybe leave it out, kind of go, okay, that track didn't work at all.
So like your approach is definitely track or song based, right? So like when, okay. So like when you start your idea, for example, whether you start it modular or your or rhythm or what have you then see the idea through sort of thing, right? To like what's your once you start like yeah, like what is am I saying this right, Orly? Help me out here. Like if I or
I'm
Sarah,
a
if you
little lost.
understand my
Like how
convoluted
I structure
question.
it, or
Yes, yeah, like what do you
I don't know, like it's basically sort of like I'll have like different parts. So it's kind of like and also like one thing I don't know if it's worth showing, but I don't know if you can see, but like basically I kind of make these kind of notes. It's probably very hard to see this, but like basically this it's just like a little graphic thing that I made, which just
Oh,
tells me
cool.
okay what kind of sounds I have on the rhythm. Like this thing at the top is like a grid showing like the pads of the rhythm, and it'll sort of show me kind of like some of the different sounds, like, and for each kind of track that I have, I'll have like different notes, and so I'll sort of refer to that to give me an idea of like where I might start or where I'm, how the flow might go. But like it's sort of but a lot of it's kind of up in the air so that I can kind of like sort of just go with the vibe and go with the flow, so that like, because yeah, sometimes I find like if I do something in the studio, I have a feeling, but when you're actually there on like with the dance floor and people are into it and you're getting into the zone, you kind of like you feel like, oh, this bit's actually really quite nice, and you want it to go for longer, or you want to do like a drop again and stuff like that. And so I sort of like I might sort of tweak something for a bit longer or change how I do it or something. I don't know
Really
if I really
good.
answered your
No,
question there.
no, you did.
Yeah,
But
you did.
I wanted to get into that because when you're in the studio, you're using certain machines, but then when you're out live, is it the same setup that you're taking? Because when you start breaking down everything you did and record it, then it's like, oh, well, now it has to go on the road. Are you using the same bits? Are you taking everything on the road with you? How does that work?
Yes, so for the most part, yes, like I'm kind of like jamming out on the same gear that I use out live. So I'll kind of make up the things and then I'll take those same bits of gear out with me. Occasionally now I've gotten into, because there's a few pieces, like I'm taking quite a lot of gear and sometimes it can get a bit too much. And so sometimes I'll then like sample a line or something like that that I really like, and then I've got like a little sampler module in the modular, but also on the rhythm. Sometimes I'll put like a synth sound on a line. For example, like here I made like a sound on this which I really liked, and I this is like too big really to take out, so
Yeah.
I would just
I
record
was
that
going to
in.
ask, sorry to interrupt, what is that? That was not to sidetrack you, but just say what that thing is, because I know if people watch the video, they're going to want to know. So.
Basically, this is like a Percons on the bottom and a Syntrix on the top, Syntrix 2. So like Love Hilton put this one together for me. And yeah, I really love it. But yeah, she's not like super practical for like taking outside. But yeah,
Right. You
but
have one
fun
on
to
the other
jam.
side too, right?
Yeah, this one. So this is the one. Yeah. So this one I too take out live. So that's kind of, yeah, why I ended up with kind of two of them. So I can
How do
like take
you?
one out.
Nice. Oh, wait. So before you ask her another question, let her finish because I cut you off. My apologies.
Oh, no, it's all good.
So you were saying that you sample from the Syntrek slash Percons that you have in the corner.
Yes, for example, yes. Yeah, and sometimes from other synths as well. Like, for example, I really love the Korg 700 FS. Like, they did a re-release of this 70s. I think it was like the first Korg that Korg ever made, the first synth they made. It's this like, it's sort of out of the way, so I can't show you, but it's sort of about this long and it has like these funny organ controls, but it sounds really, really fat and I really love it, but it's incredibly heavy. And there's this like, I don't know if I can, I'd love to take it live, but yeah, so for example, that I will sample like little sounds off that and then stick it in the modular, for example, and then sort of tweak them. Yeah.
Got it. Okay, Aurelie, sorry. Well, you, I know you had another question.
Because like, look at your gear. It's pink, bubbly, amazing. And how do you put it together? And I know you bedazzled it yourself, but I also know, like, how do you even, all of the, yeah, no, is it custom made, all of it? Like, you go in and you talk to the distributors and you guys work together? Or is this like actually handmade? Tapestry.
Yeah, no, I do it myself. Question. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I get this question a lot actually. Yeah. So basically, no, I do it myself. Apart from this one, which Love Hilton did for me, everything else I did myself. So basically, yeah, it's a bit of a laborious procedure, but like like when I get a new synth, I feel like I can't really use it until I've done that. So basically, I'll sort of take it. Like this one was quite a big job, the Percon. So I like completely took it apart. And yeah, I took all the step buttons off and the knobs, and then spray painted them and add some glitter and stuff like that. And then put it back together, and thank God it still worked. And then like on some of these electrons, I have like these overlays, which I've made, which are basically like these vinyl sheets, which are sticky. And then I'll design like something on the computer, and then I print it out. And then I have like a cutting machine, which takes a long time, like of trial and error and using measurements. And often I kind of like use like the user manual, because they in handily in the user manual for the electrons, you get like a nice sort of picture from the top down of the electron boxes. So I use that as a starting point to create a guide. And then I cut it out. And yeah, lots of trial and error. It takes about a week to make one of these like the first time. And yeah. And then I sort of get different knob stuff.
Did you have to research, like, if anything was going to get burnt, or if all, like, if anyone was actually clash with the machines, or because that's like a bit of a mad scientist process to go through. I feel like we should have workshops. I mean, you know, arts and craft workshops as to how to.
I mean, yeah, that's like dedication. It looks awesome. I got, you know, we both saw it in person, and it's like the detail of that you put into it.
Thank you. Yeah. It's just been a bit of a labor of love. Like I just sort of started off with one of the machines. I think this was the first one I did, the 303. And I just had a lot of fun coming up with it. And yeah, I don't know. Yeah, the sort of, I've always loved like pink and stuff like that. So it's just like sort of bringing this together with my music. And yeah, it just became something that I just really liked and just sort of grew from that. And yeah, I mean, I have done like bits of electronics as well before. Like I've put together some like synth kits and things like that, like a TTSH 2600. So a few things like that help me so that I know that if I destroy something, I might be able to fix it, maybe. I don't know.
Nice. Do you like, so is it like, do you try a piece of gear first and then know like, okay, this is gonna stay in the setup, so then you then put the work in to make the modifications?
That's a good question. I have actually had some things that I started off with, and I've gone through this whole process of like making them pink and stuff like that, only to then kind of decide that it's not really quite working with the setup, and it's sort of gets a bit put on the side. So that does happen. Usually if I really love the sound in a machine, then it's pretty likely that I can take it out. I mean, I do love this Percons, but it is also very big. So I'm also like currently thinking about, am I always going to take this out live? Or maybe, you know, maybe it's a bit too much because it gets very heavy. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, it looks awesome. So so going back to your set, and as I'm, you know, as we mentioned before, I've heard you play live, we played together, and you definitely have this 90s influence, which I absolutely love. And even on some of your other live sets, I've heard like some dub and things like that. Like what made you gravitate towards those sounds? Like what was it?
So, I mean, I don't know if there's anything particular. It's just been like always, it's just basically anything that I love. So, like I've kind of like, I really love bass. I used to play bass guitar kind of before I got into electronic music. And so I've always had some, for some reason, a real love and connection with bass. So I think I got into dub, and for a while there I was quite into dubstep and you know, bits and pieces of drum and bass, like anything with like heavy bass. And so and I guess also like when I first started going out raving, like it was like, you know, big warehouse parties with like, you know, I don't know, these synth sounds that I didn't really know where they're coming from, and they were just like, there was something really organic and yeah, they just really captured my imagination. And it was like, it took me a few years to kind of figure out where these sounds came from and how I could kind of recreate some of these things that I loved. And so basically, yeah, it's just bits and pieces of things I've picked up over the years of things that I really love, and then sort of melding them together into something and seeing if it works.
And like creating your own sound. You definitely hear your own sound within those, that 90s flavor, if you will, right?
Right, yeah, thanks. Yeah. I hope it is somehow coherent in some way. Like it's basically just like, you know, if I hear something and I really love it, then I'll just sort of find some way to integrate it somehow.
Do you feel like Berlin has shifted or influenced you in a certain way and has changed and morphed a bit of your sound since you've been there?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And it's constantly evolving. Like I've sometimes had people think that I make like one particular style or something like that. And sometimes I don't like being put in a box. So sometimes I'll just do something almost as a bit punkish to be like, you know, like, oh, I can do something else, you know, like, because I do love lots of electronic music, lots of styles inspire me. And yeah, I think being in Berlin definitely has influenced me. I mean, a lot of the music that's played here can, especially at the moment, I guess, can be quite heavy, can be quite fast. And I mean, I think I like to sort of take the bits and pieces from that I like, and then mix it with other things that I like, for some of the old school sounds. And yeah, I don't know, sort of see if I can sort of bring those two worlds together a little bit, something like that.
Yeah, like in one of your sets, it was cool because you started at like one BPM, and then as it progressed, it got faster. And then I think it was like your last track or your second to last track, it was like, I want to say it was like 160 or like straight four to the floor, 160 or something.
Yeah. At the moment it ends at 165. Like, I don't know kind of why that happened. It's like, I think, actually I know that the track that I made before that, which is 160, it was almost like a bit of a protest track, because I had a lot of people, because I used to make a lot of my music was like 133 for some weird reason. Like, I think I just, at one point somebody said, I'd heard like a DJ sort of say, oh yeah, if you want to keep people dancing all night, you know, 133 is really good. So I kind of just went with that for no particular reason, but it also felt fine to me. But then, yeah, I noticed things being a lot faster and people almost like, sometimes I'd have like a friend or something saying, "Are you going to do anything faster? Or can you even do it or something?" I don't know. And so I was like, "Okay, fine." And then so I like did this track at 160, and then I played it in Leipzig. I think it was the first time I played it was only like a month or two ago, and people really loved it. And then I was like, "Oh fuck, this is fucking fun." So I was like, "Okay." Then I'll like, yeah. Yeah, and then I sort of got into it. And then basically I realized, yeah, I can put so much energy into it as well. And it sort of, yeah, just allowed me to express something different. And I had a bad argument with a friend of mine. And then I was like, okay, I'll make another track. And then it ended up being like 165 and just really letting it out. And yeah, and then I, yeah, people really loved that. So I was like, okay, I can explore this as well.
Yeah, it was awesome. Like I remember, you know, I have my trusty little BPM app on my phone, you know. I feel like
we were on the dance floor together, and I was like,
I need to see how fast this is. Yeah, I was like, go Sarah.
yeah, so it's been definitely fun to explore different things, and I'm really excited to like really lots of like feel like kind of free to move between these different things, because I feel like that's also something that I really love. And I feel like people have come up to me and they really enjoy like the like a little bit of a journey in the set, and I feel like it sort of takes people on something, and yeah, that's something I love as well. So
yeah, like with your journey, so I know that you, when you write your songs, you write songs, you know, and then there's, you know, artists have different approaches, right? Like some they're just show up, they're completely improv, and it tends to be maybe a little more hypnotic and what have you, whereas like somebody like yourself or other artists, and they come and they write songs, you can hear the different phrasing, for example, or the layers. But I've done approach to both, but when I hear people when they play songs, sometimes they're, I don't want to use the word stuck, because that's not what I'm trying to say, but like, they're playing those designated songs. But do you find that because you write in all these different genres within the dance arena, that you still have the freedom to pick and choose what you want to play? Does that make sense? Like,
yeah, I know what
you know
mean.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're not like, oh shit, I have to play only these five songs. That's what I prepared tonight.
Right.
Like, I've noticed that you are kind of changing. You know what I mean? Like,
yes. So, I mean, I guess I do kind of have like a set like structure that I usually, because I have sort of transitions and ideas of how to transition. But I mean, if something isn't working, I can totally like skip through or change stuff up or mix different pieces together. The thing that I feel like with the way that I sort of do it, where it's somewhere in between, where like the structure is not set in stone at all. So basically, like if some elements are working or something doesn't work in a track, like I don't have to play any of that. I can just like play the hi-hat sequence from something else, and you know, like a different bass sound from something else. Like I can kind of, there's a lot of freedom to like change it up a bit if it's not working or something's. Because sometimes in the studio that I'll find that I'll write a track and I'll write all this stuff, and I sometimes get a bit carried away with lots of layers, and then I'll get to the club and we'll start playing. I'll be like, oh my God, there's way too much going on. I'll be like, okay, let's just not play half of that. And yeah, that kind of thing will happen quite a lot. So yeah, there's definitely still freedom to sort of change it up a bit. So I don't feel like sort of stuck, that I sort of have to go through an exact plan or something like that
and play those particular things. Yeah, I've noticed that in your sets, which I think is really cool. Orly.
I got the pleasure to see you play both in Berlin and then right after at ADE. How do you feel there was was there a difference for you? Was it
I did feel like there was a difference. It was interesting. Yeah, it's difficult to compare, but I mean, because also like so much of it I feel like has to do with like the sound system that I'm playing on. Like sometimes because I've got like quite bass heavy music. I feel like sometimes if the sound system is really tuned for that and it comes across well and clearly, then I'm kind of like quite happy with it. I feel like in the Berlin gig, the first one you were at, I felt like there was probably maybe more bass there than there was in the ADE gig. So kind of, yeah, that aspect of it I preferred in Berlin. But then what's interesting is also like the crowd thing can be a bit different. So for example, like I know that in the Netherlands, you know, like Gabber and stuff like that is quite popular or like was. And so at that gig in ADE, like someone came up to me who was like an old school raver from like, you know, the Gabba sort of era or something. And he was like, yeah, I really love those last two tracks. They're really fast. And I was like, okay, cool. You know, I touched someone with that. That was kind of cool. I like that.
That is cool. So the Raw Industries, like, how did you get involved with the Raw Industries Collective? Sorry to totally change gears, but
no, all like, good.
Yeah.
Yes. So basically, so just performing here in Berlin at some clubs. And basically I met Joseph, who's from Raw Industries, and we actually just became friends. And we had a lot of talks about lots of ideas, and both of us had like a lot of ideas for music and things we really want to do. And he sort of started off the Raw Industries thing and invited me to play it one of the first time that we played together.
Yeah.
And basically it just kind of grew from that fairly organically. There wasn't I didn't 100% know how it was going to go. That right. First time that I played, I was also very nervous. I wasn't sure if, because, you know, like in Berlin, you know, it's quite common that people sort of are quite, you know, wearing a lot of black and, you know, sometimes can be a bit serious. And I'm kind of like coming in there with all my pink stuff and wearing like a princess outfit. And I'm just kind of like, you know, are they going to like boo me off? You know, what's going to happen? But I was really pleasantly surprised to see how well received it was, and people were really open for it. And that really was very heartwarming for me to see that I can be myself and play my music and people like it.
I got to experience a little bit of that Raw Industries and Berlin community, and it was so lovely. Like in the beginning, yeah, I can see the hard shell. But then once they get to know you a bit, it was super embracing. And that brings me to a very important point, which when I was reading your bio, which I probably murdered, I apologize to everyone. My reading skills are not on point today.
<It's all> good.
How did you, like, yes, because in a black, in a sea of black, which we all, you know, as you could tell.
Right, like the whole the techno,
you come in with like I cried like an aster crashed and everything is pink and so beautiful. How did you decide to like come up with this, and were you like a little bit intimidated saying, oh my god, I'm going into this bio just like, because everybody else's bios are usually quite serious and it's quite like, this is what I do, this is where I am, and in a way you're coming in the same way. And I think it's absolutely lovely.
Mm-hmm.
But how did you come up with this whole concept? And, you know?
Yeah, I think it's just like, ultimately for me, it's just like a form of, just another form of self-expression and something that I've always been kind of into, like the whole pink thing and, you know, this whole style of dressing and stuff like that. It's always been something that I really loved. And I mean, I didn't, before I sort of, kept it also quite separate from my music. I don't know where the idea really came from. I just kind of thought, oh, you know, I could combine these things that I really like and sort of see what happens. And kind of like you said as well, like in the beginning, I was quite nervous about it, how it would come across. And if people wouldn't like it. But I think I do get a lot of feedback, or, you know, I do get some feedback from people when I perform that they feel like they see the authenticity of it, like, because it's like it's just something I love. It's not really like for any other reason, if that makes sense.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, it's like genius. You. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just marketing too. I mean, it just comes all together, and it's a ray of sunshine in a sea of black. So I think it quite stands out, and it's lovely.
Oh, totally agree with you. So Sarah, I mean, after like, you know, all this, you know, live playing live, have you ever DJed or have you thought about ever DJing?
So I did actually do a little bit of DJing, kind of in the middle, like, cause I started off sort of doing, I kind of have always been focused on making music. Like, like I just started off with just one synthesizer and just played on that, and then sort of slowly got a little bit more hardware. But then for a while there, so when I sort of got into dubstep for a bit, I was finding like a way to basically play my music out was to also sort of DJ so I could sort of, you know, mix some of my tunes in with other people's tracks. Cause I just found it very hard to get gigs, I guess, for a while there. And so, basically DJing was a little bit of a way of being able to perform a bit. So I didn't do that for so long. I think I probably DJed dubstep for maybe one or two years, I think maybe. Yeah.
So do you prefer live over DJing?
Like, if definitely. It's really, for me, there's absolutely no comparison. I mean, I don't really know what to do if I'm DJing. I'm just kind of like, okay, I put on a track and then I'm just sort of like feel a bit awkward because I'm not doing stuff. I feel like I need
but
to
you
really
guys,
do,
right? I feel the same
decks.
Way.
Like... No, because I was having this conversation with Travarsi right before we started speaking because I'm like, don't you think that just taking your USB and headphones sometimes it's really nice? You
yes.
can mix in samples on an RMX 1000, you get to upload everything, remix on the fly, you're 4 decks, you never know what you're about to play. It's like going diving into everybody else's like history of music. I don't know how to explain this, ladies, but sometimes it's just really nice not to have equipment to take with you.
Sometimes it's nerve-wracking though, right? Like, I'm like, what do I do with my hands? I have nervous energy. So I'm like, I'd be the hot knobs, you know, like hot knobs.
I mean, DJ syndrome. Yeah, sometimes I think it would be nice to maybe like, because sometimes when I'm performing live, I've got so many things that I'm sort of thinking about what's coming up, these changes and different things that I want to do sort of that it's sometimes... You know, if people like sort of scream out or something, you get like an opportunity to like engage with people and be like, hey, yeah, awesome, you know, getting into it. But then there's just so much going on that it's sometimes hard to stop and enjoy the moment, if you know what I mean. Like, I can imagine like if I was DJing a bit, I'd be able to enjoy it a bit more probably. Not that I don't enjoy performing because I do love it. But yeah, like.
It's like a different headspace for you. So we're almost at the top of the hour, so we have but I do have another question for you. Like, what is, so who do you have any specific artist influences or when you at all, like, I mean, in, before you started making music or even just while you're making your music, are there artists that come to mind? Just curious.
Really influences come from anywhere and everywhere. Like, there's a lot of like old school things that I love. I mean, I really love some of the early Prodigy music, like the first couple of albums from them, some things that I really, really love. But basically, any like really comes from all over the place, music that I hear all the time, like randomly or out at clubs, you know, like, or even if I'm listening to you and you do something cool and I'll be like, that's a cool idea, I'm gonna steal that, you know, something like that, you know.
totally. And if I do have one last question, Orly, unless you have another question before we wrap if you were like, what type of advice would you give to somebody who wanted to start playing live, like with hardware, like what advice would you give?
Right. Yeah, tricky question.
I know, right? It's a loaded one, but
Because I guess there's so many questions I would have for that person about what they were trying to do. But like, I suppose this somehow, like, my thing would be to like try and keep it simple. Like, I feel like I've got way too much stuff, so I'm probably like a really bad example of what to do. Like, probably you shouldn't do this. But like, like starting off with something really simple and just having fun with it, and just also just I reckon just like trying things and seeing what works for you, don't try and be perfect, because I know that that's something that like I definitely struggled with, like trying to be perfect with stuff, and like just trying stuff out and seeing what works for you, because I feel like a lot of people have different approaches and different things seem to work for different people. But like without investing too much money buying lots of things, try out some simple things. I don't know if that's a very good answer.
No, it was great. I love the don't be perfect because I feel like a lot of, including myself, we get hung up on that to the point where it can be crippling or, like you don't want to take the risks sometimes. So that's good advice, I think. Yeah. Orly, do you have any before we wrap it? I think we're right at the top of the hour here.
Well, no, just thank you so very, very much for the, I know it's late in Berlin, so this was absolutely a pleasure to have you on the show. And
Thank you very
I
much.
hope I get to see you live again soon.
Yeah,
Yeah.
hopefully here in the States.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'd love to see you guys play as well. Thanks for
Thank
having me.
thanks, Sarah. We really appreciate it. Yeah, we'd love to have you back sometime as well. Everyone, you're listening to Transduction Signal. I'm Traversi, and we have,
Orly Gal.
and we'll see you next, talk to you next month.